Practical College English Course
实用英语综合教程第四册由上海交通大学电子音像出版社录制出版
Unit 1 Focus 1 Language Skills Section 1 Model Passage Reading A Case of Suspicion
He threw back the covers and sat up on the edge of his bed, his feet groping along the cold floor for his house slippers, the telephone ringing insistently a little distance away. He turned on the light, walked to the phone, and picked it up. This is Dr. Benson, he said. The November wind was bringing sounds of winter as it blew around the little white house. The doctor got into his clothes. He went to the table and stared a moment at his watch, his spirit complaining at the job ahead of him. 2 o'clock. His mind also complained at the horrible hour, and he wondered why children always had to be born at such inappropriate times. He gathered 2 small satchels, the short pill bag, as the people of the town knew it, and the long obstetrical case, the baby bag, they called it. Dr. Benson stopped briefly to light a cigarette, and then put the pack of cigarettes into his overcoat pocket. The wind felt like a surgeon's scalpel at his face as he opened the door and ran, bending low, around the driveway to the garage. His car started reluctantly, coughed 6 times as he drove down the driveway, but then began to run more smoothly as he turned down Grass Street and on to the deserted highway. Mrs. Ott Sawley, whom Dr. Benson was on his way to visit, already had almost 12 children. But it seemed to the doctor that never once had she delivered a baby in good weather nor in daylight. And while Dr. Benson was a country doctor, he was still a young man and couldn't find the pleasure that his father, the old Doc Benson, had found in seeing Ott, the father, always 2 or 3 babies in arrears in the payment of his baby bills. It was a long ride out to the Sawley farm, and the sight of a man walking alone along the country road, as seen just ahead by the headlights of his car, was a welcome relief to the doctor. He slowed down and looked at the man walking along with difficulty against the wind, a little package under his arm. Coming alongside, Dr. Benson stopped and offered the man a ride. The man got in.
"What is your destination?" asked the doctor.
"I'm going all the way to Detroit," said the man, a rather slight man with small black eyes filled with tears from the wind. "Could you give me a cigarette?" Dr. Benson unbuttoned his coat and then remembered the cigarettes in the outer pocket of his overcoat. He took out the package and gave it to his passenger, who then looked in his own pockets for a match. When the cigarette had been lit, the man held the package for a moment, then asked,
"Do you mind, sir, if I take another cigarette for later?"
The passenger shook the package to remove another cigarette without waiting for the doctor to answer. Dr. Benson felt a hand touch his pocket.
"I'll put them back in your pocket," the little fellow said.
Dr. Benson put his hand down quickly to receive the cigarettes, and was a bit irritated and annoyed to find them already in his pocket. After a few minutes, Dr. Benson said,
"So, you're going to Detroit?"
"I'm going out to look for work in one of the automobile plants."
"Are you a mechanic?" asked the doctor.
"More or less. I've been driving a truck since the war ended, but I lost my job about 1 month ago.
"Were you in the army during the war?"
"Yeah, I was in the ambulance section, right up at the front, drove an ambulance for 4 years.
Is that so? Said Dr. Benson. I'm a doctor myself. Dr. Benson is my name.
I thought this car smelt like pills, the man laughed.
Then he added, more seriously, My name is Evans.
They rode along silently for a few minutes, and the passenger moved himself in his seat and placed his package on the floor of the car. As the man leaned over, Dr. Benson caught his first good glimpse of the small, cat-like face. The doctor also noticed a long, protruding scar on the man's cheek, bright and red-looking as though it were of recent origin. He thought of Mrs. Ottesoli and reached for his watch. His fingers went deep in his pocket before he realized that his watch was missing. Dr. Benson slid his hand very slowly and very carefully below the seat until he felt the leather holster in which he always carried his automatic pistol with him. He drew out the pistol slowly and held it in the darkness at his side. Dr. Benson stopped the car abruptly and pushed the muzzle of his gun into Evan's side.
"Put that watch into my pocket!" he said angrily.
The passenger jumped with fear and raised his hands quickly. "My God, mister," he whispered, "I thought you—"
Dr. Benson shoved the pistol still deeper into the man's side and repeated coldly,
"Put that watch in my pocket before I pull the trigger."
Evans put his hand in his own vest pocket and later, with trembling hands, tried to put the watch into the doctor's pocket. With his free hand, Dr. Benson pushed the watch down into his pocket. He opened the door and forced the man out of the car.
"I'm out here tonight, probably to save a woman's life, but I took the time to try to help you," he said to the man angrily.
Dr. Benson started the car quickly, and the wind slammed the door. He put the pistol back into the leather holster under the seat and hurried on. The drive up the mountain to the Sawley farm was less arduous than he had feared, and Art Sawley had sent one of his older sons down the road with a flashlight to help him across the old wooden bridge that led up to the little farmhouse. Mrs. Sawley's many previous experiences with bringing children into the world apparently helped her greatly, because she delivered this child with little difficulty, and there was no need on Dr. Benson's part for the instruments in his obstetrical bag. After it was over, however, Dr. Benson took out a cigarette and sat down to relax.
"A fellow I picked up in my car on my way up here tonight tried to rob me," he said to Art, feeling a little proud. "He took my watch. But when I jammed my 45 pistol into his side, he decided to return it to me."
Art grinned at such an exciting story coming from young Dr. Benson.
"Well, I'm glad he gave it back to you,"
Art commented, "because if he hadn't, we wouldn't have any idea what time the child was born. What time would you say it happened, Doc?"
Dr. Benson took the watch from his pocket. "The baby was delivered approximately 30 minutes ago, and right now it's—"
He walked over to the lamp on the table. He stared dumbfounded at the watch in his hand. The crystal was cracked, the top was broken. He turned the watch over and held it closer to the lamp. He scrutinized the worn inscription. "To Private T. Evans, Ambulance Section, whose personal bravery preserved our lives the night of November the 3rd, 1943, near the Italian front. Nurses Nesbitt, Jones, and Wingate."
New words.
Slipper.
Insistently.
Gather.
Satchel.
Obstetrical.
Scalpel.
Deserted.
Arrears.
Headlight.
Relief.
Destination.
Passenger.
Remove.
Irritated.
Mechanic.
Ambulance.
Glimpse.
Protrude.
Holster.
Automatic.
Pistol.
Abruptly.
Muzzle.
Vest.
Slam.
Arduous.
Relax.
Jam.
Grin.
Approximately.
Dumbfounded.
Cracked.
Scrutinize.
Inscription.
Preserve.
Proper nouns.
Dr. Benson.
Grass Street.
Art Solley.
Detroit.
Evans.
Nesbitt.
Jones.
Wingate.
Section 2. Listening and speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Can you imagine? A fellow I picked up in my car on my way up here tonight tried to rob me.
Oh, what happened?
On my way here, I saw a man walking along the road ahead of my car and offered him a ride.
It was nice of you to do that.
He told me his destination was Detroit, and he was going there to look for a job.
Then he robbed you?
Not yet. He asked for a cigarette. I gave my package to him. He took the cigarettes and then put the package in my pocket.
He put the package in your pocket himself? That was a bit irritating.
Yes. Then I found the watch in my pocket was missing.
What did you do then?
I drew out my pistol, pointed it at him, and asked him to put the watch back into my pocket.
Did he do that?
Of course. He was very scared and did that immediately. Then I forced him out of my car and drove off.
You are really brave. It's merciful of you not to call the police.
He said he was once in the war and drove an ambulance.
What a cheat!
You see, this is the watch I almost lost. Oh, my God!
What's wrong?
My dear, this is not my watch. It's his. Look at the inscription. It was presented by some nurses whose lives he preserved during the war.
2. Listen to a conversation twice and then choose the best answer to each question. What's your name?
Frank Berman. Why did you bring me here?
I'll tell you in a minute. How old are you?
24. Why are you asking me these questions?
There was a supermarket robbery last night, and I think you have some information about it.
Me? I don't know anything about the supermarket robbery.
What were you doing from 8 to 9 last night?
I was watching TV.
Alone?
No, I was with my girlfriend. We were watching TV together.
What program were you watching?
I forget. I think it was a Western.
Where did you go after you left your girlfriend's?
I went home. I never went near the center supermarket.
I think you are lying. I never told you the name of the store.
Questions. 1. Where does the conversation most likely take place?
Two. What happened last night?
Three. What doesn't the woman ask Frank?
Four. Why does the woman think Frank committed the robbery?
Five. Which of the following is not true?
What's your name?
Frank Berman. Why did you bring me here?
I'll tell you in a minute. How old are you?
24. Why are you asking me these questions?
There was a supermarket robbery last night, and I think you have some information about it.
Me? I don't know anything about the supermarket robbery.
What were you doing from 8 to 9 last night?
I was watching TV.
Alone?
No, I was with my girlfriend. We were watching TV together.
What program were you watching?
I forget. I think it was a Western.
Where did you go after you left your girlfriend's?
I went home. I never went near the center supermarket.
I think you are lying. I never told you the name of the store.
Questions. 1. Where does the conversation most likely take place?
2. What happened last night?
3. What doesn't the woman ask Frank?
4. Why does the woman think Frank committed the robbery?
5. Which of the following is not true? 3. Listen to a passage twice, and then choose the best answer to each question.
I found out one time that doing a favor for someone could get you into a lot of trouble. I was in the 8th grade at the time, and we were having a final test. During the test, the girl sitting next to me whispered something, but I didn't understand. So I leaned over her way and found out that she was trying to ask me if I had an extra pen. She showed me that hers was out of ink and would not write. I happened to have an extra one, so I took it out of my pocket and put it on her desk. Later, after the test papers had been turned in, the teacher asked me to stay in the room when all the other students were dismissed. For a long time, she talked about honesty and emphasized the fact that when people do something dishonest, they are really cheating themselves. She made me promise that I would think seriously about all the things she had said. And then she told me I could leave. I walked out of the room wondering why she had chosen to talk to me about all those things. Later on, I found out that the teacher thought I had cheated on the test. When she saw me lean over to talk to the girl next to me, it looked as if I was copying answers from the girl's test paper. Even if I tried to explain that I was just doing the girl a favor by letting her use my pen, I'm sure she continued to believe that I had cheated on the test.
Questions. 1. Where did the story take place?
2. Why did the girl want to borrow the speaker's pen?
3. What did the teacher ask the speaker to do?
4. What was emphasized in the teacher's talk?
5. When did the speaker know everything?
I happened to have an extra one, so I took it out of my pocket and put it on her desk. Later, after the test papers had been turned in, the teacher asked me to stay in the room when all the other students were dismissed. For a long time, she talked about honesty and emphasized the fact that when people do something dishonest, they are really cheating themselves. She made me promise that I would think seriously about all the things she had said. And then she told me I could leave. I walked out of the room wondering why she had chosen to talk to me about all those things. Later on, I found out that the teacher thought I had cheated on the test. When she saw me lean over to talk to the girl next to me, it looked as if I was copying answers from the girl's test paper. Even if I tried to explain that I was just doing the girl a favor by letting her use my pen, I'm sure she continued to believe that I had cheated on the test.
Questions. 1. Where did the story take place?
2. Why did the girl want to borrow the speaker's pen?
3. What did the teacher ask the speaker to do?
4. What was emphasized in the teacher's talk?
5. When did the speaker know everything?
'Speaking, reference answer, prose.
I think humans are born good, and many people are by nature benevolent, dutiful, and righteous. However, one needs to continue self-cultivation through conscious activity to keep the innocent nature from the harm of evil forces. For example, children are born to be good, and they know how to love their mother. Adults will have an urge to save a child trapped in a well because of the same instinct, the instinct of love, compassion. In one word, humans are born good, and the good nature needs continued cultivation.
Cons. I'm afraid I can't agree with you. In my opinion, humans are born evil. The bad seed inside humans will grow wildly if they do not self-cultivate. For example, children tend to fight for toys when they are young. This is an act of greed and acted for self-interest. Many people commit crimes such as thefts, robberies, and even murders out of their greedy nature. Focus 2. Language use. Section 1. Practical reading. The Internet Marketing Situation in China. An interview with an American advertising consultant.
Why is the Internet becoming so huge in China? And what are the differences between the Internet in China and that in the rest of the world? The target audience of Internet marketing in China is the young and the affluent. For these people, the Internet has already become a mass media and penetration is high. The figures are huge. This year, there are over 250 million Internet users in China, surpassing the USA. Through our work and experience in New Run China, we know the China Internet audience is very responsive. On average, they consume 19 hours a week, 65% more than the US. So let's analyze why. Why do the Chinese embrace the Internet? I believe it all relates back to China's history, the social background, and the educational system. Before China's reform and opening up, there was little encouragement to educate students to debate in school. There was little analysis expressed, since most lessons were learned by rote. There was very little opportunity to share one's own opinion or thoughts. The Internet has changed all that. It is the only medium available where anyone, whatever his social background is, can express himself. Anyone willing to can do so. This is why they have embraced the Internet and its interactivity so wholeheartedly. The same relevant issues command a larger audience and create more discussions in China than in other parts of the world. The audience in fully developed markets, especially in the US and Europe, has already been, let's say, brainwashed and overexposed to much knowledge on products, brands, health, etc. This is not the case in China. The attitude of the audience in the West is, we believe we already know everything. Well, almost everything. The Chinese netizens realize that they are still catching up in terms of knowledge and information. They crave more information. They crave more knowledge. The Internet provides a medium they feel they can trust. They are aware that this medium is freer and less biased than the traditional media. Now, why in reality will the Internet in China eventually take over the traditional media in terms of numbers, quality, and new ways of usage? Let's take a look at what happened in the past, first in Japan and South Korea, and later in China. Japan was becoming a huge economic power in the world while South Korea was still emerging as an Asian tiger. In these two countries, telephones were readily available and widespread. However, when the mobile technology appeared, it was very interesting to see that these two countries jumped right in, much quicker than the West. When I first arrived in China in 1995, there were already several hundred million cell phones. Motorola was the leading brand, and China was to be their largest market only after just a few years. Asia is much more ready to embrace new technology, much faster than the West. I think that is attributed to their deep belief that technology means progress, and progress means wealth. It is a simple equation, but I strongly believe this is what it is about. The Internet in China. Let us look at what is happening to the Internet in China. America invented the Internet and made it a fantastic communication tool, an information highway reflecting a sense of freedom. Back in the 1990s, China did not fully understand this medium and was a little reluctant to embrace it. They tried to control it, but it was too costly. At one stage, the Ministry of Information wanted to write Internet regulations to curb the inflow and outflow of information. Then, in the spirit of reform and opening up, they changed their mind and made the Internet accessible to companies, universities, students, and households. And soon, it started to grow very fast. Why? Once again, the government had the wisdom and foresight to realize how big and important it would become to the people, the economy, and education. The people were aware that this was the latest technology in communication, and simply, they believed that the latest was the best. They felt they had to understand it, to master it, otherwise they would be left behind, as individuals and as an economy. So once again, this cultural aspect is the reason why the people embraced the Internet so quickly. I believe that China goes on the Internet not only for fun and entertainment, but also for information. I strongly believe they have such a strong will to grow and to progress that they use the Internet to connect and to interact with new people. This desire for progress is driving the way Internet works in China, inventing new ways for web utilization, online, offline, mobile phones, and TV. It will continue to grow very fast. Companies and brands are spending more and more money on online marketing. Most of them are just following the trends of the consumers, not preempting or analyzing what the people are doing on the web and what they can offer the netizens. Interacting on the Internet. The Internet has already become a mass medium for the young and affluent. It is clear that they have already taken control, and their presence and the type of content they want are driving the market. They speak their minds very loudly and vividly. We have to listen. We have created some very successful brand campaigns for our clients like FAW, VW, Olay, and Colgate. The content was interactive and entertaining in a way that delivered information and the educational aspect of the product as well. Take Colgate's Max Fresh campaign as an example. Jay Cho is the face of a multitude of Chinese brands. How did we make his campaign for Max Fresh stand out from all the others? We let the consumers remix his television commercial. They cannot just chop it up, but also add their own titles and inserts, as well as other music, which they guessed Jay could dance to. The audience loved it. They interacted with it and even forwarded it to their friends. There were almost 1.5 million unique hits in a 2-month period. We even added a flash toothpaste mixer, a cute little application to enable Colgate to get the feedback from more than 1,000 users on which toothpaste flavor they preferred. There is nothing faster than the web to let a marketer know if there is interest in their product, what they like or don't like about it. Nowadays, very often when we are briefed by clients, they are looking to us to tell them what they should do online. One client said, "I know my product has to be online. You are the expert. You understand my audience. You understand the web. I don't. What can we do?" And this is not a first-timer. The Internet is growing so fast, the type of content and the reasons why people stay on the web are evolving, and habits are changing. Right now, a strange thing is happening. Few brands are taking a leadership stand on what should happen online, and instead of trying to be creators, they are followers. I don't think they are really aware of this. Probably, they are subconsciously taking the safe way and just watching where the Internet will go and where it will take them. So where will the Internet go in China? With such a large population and a phenomenal annual growth in Internet users, the people will be in the driver's seat. Now is only the beginning.
New words.
Target.
Affluent.
Mass.
Penetration.
Surpass.
Embrace.
Reform.
Road.
Interactivity.
Wholeheartedly.
Brainwash.
Overexpose.
Netizen.
Crave.
Biased.
Relevant.
Usage.
Attribute.
Equation.
Highway.
Costly.
Ministry.
Curb.
Inflow.
Outflow.
Foresight.
Offline.
Preempt.
Multitude.
Chop.
Insert.
Unique.
Toothpaste.
Cute.
Brief.
Subconsciously.
Proper nouns.
New Run China.
South Korea.
Motorola.
The Ministry of Information.
FAW-VW.
Olay.
Colgate.
Max Fresh.
Jay Cho.